Hey guys, welcome to episode 116 of the JV Club with my guest and friend, Monsieur Danny Pudi. I am so glad that we were able to get together. I will say that as with the Bruce McCullough episode, if you guys are interested in hearing a different interview where we talk about some different stuff, I did interview Danny for Jesse Thorne's show, and I think you can probably go back into his archives, as I suggested with Bruce McCullough, and listen to that if you wanted to. I mean, I'm guessing that's possible. If not, stick with this episode. I do think you'll enjoy it. Couldn't love Danny more. And I wanted to, of course, get into some shout outs. I wanted to thank on Facebook Todd, Damon, Joseph, Shmoo, Lauren, and Leaf, as well as Matthew, Esteban, Jacqueline, and Corinne for your notes and comments. I wanted to thank all of the wonderful posts on the Nerdist page. Boy, you guys are back up and running. I feel like maybe when I said that no one was commenting on there, everybody showed up, or everyone just loves PFT, which is also entirely possible and likely. But thank you for all of your comments. There are so many that I feel like I can't name all of you, but I did want to quickly acknowledge that Nemo posted that Lawrence Welk was Catholic. I don't know why it feels so important to make this identification, but yes, you were right. I did look it up. I guess it's because the Osmonds were Mormon, maybe, and also just because every Mormon I knew loved the Lawrence Welk show if they were over the age of 70. Anyway, I'd like to apologize to the entire Welk clan for that misidentification. For your emails, and I am very behind on emails, guys, but I wanted you to know I have gotten and read them. I just haven't had a chance to respond. I wanted to thank Chris, Caitlin, Samantha, Laura, Nick, and Michelle. And then just what else did I want to tell you? That I'm very excited about being at San Diego Comic-Con. I hope you'll get a chance to come see me there. I'm going to be doing a bunch of stuff. I still don't know my complete schedule because it's really, there's a lot of different stuff going on, but I will be there. I will be at Connecticon the 10th, 11th of July. I'm so excited to report that I've been recording some voiceover for the Korra video game, and it is astonishingly beautiful. So wonderful. I hope that you enjoyed, those of you who are Korra fans, the season 3 premiere, and that you'll continue to watch the show on Nickelodeon. And I also wanted to just give another shout out to You're the Worst. That's me getting a text. A shout out to You're the Worst, which is the FX show that I've been shooting and continue to shoot. That's going to be premiering on July 17th. I encourage you to check it out. Stephen Falk, the creator, was a writer on Weeds and Orange is the New Black, among other great shows. And I've just been having the best time. So I really hope you'll check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think that'll do it. Please enjoy the episode. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
A little high pitched. It was almost like you were tuning.
It did sound like a tuning fork.
A tuning fork, or like an emergency broadcast alert. Ooh. There's also something about it that's like, you guys, there was totally a ghost that you could hear in the white noise at the beginning of Danny Pudi's JV Club episode.
That was just an emergency alert outside. That was not a ghost. Wait a minute.
What if that's what an Amber Alert is?
If the Amber Alert, I'd be like, what's your strategy? If you really want to find this child, let's say it a little louder.
We're hoping that you can help us locate a young lady who was taken from.
Yeah. The car? I think there's a young lady or a baby. It's a lady or a baby.
How respectful to call someone a young lady.
A young lady, a baby, especially a baby. If you're calling a baby a young lady. Well,
manners. It's technically true.
Janet is so proper.
Very young lady. very young lady.
She's missing. She was traveling in a
what? I heard traveling. She was last seen traveling in a sudden.
It's good that we're not in charge of anything important.
Oh, yeah. I always think about, like, rules and infrastructure and bridges and highways and toll booths, laws. Mm-hmm, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm so glad that stuff was figured out before I came.
I agree with that. And something that, just reminded me of something that makes me laugh, which was when I was in Ottawa recently for this wedding. We passed by this kind of half-built passenger bridge that was sort of just, it wasn't even like a cross yet. It was just like the first part of it, but it was very artistic and beautiful. And I was like, oh, that's wave. Cool. What's that? Sure. What? Thank you for putting it in language and sound. I can understand.
You know that artist, the Hokusai wave, how it's just like all those.
Actually, it is. Yeah. I think you could say that it was like that. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's cool. What's being built? And I was told that, in fact, building has ceased because Ottawa asked a famous sculptor to design a passenger bridge, like a pedestrian bridge over the highway. And that person has no like civic engineering background whatsoever. So he designed something that was so structurally unsound, and no one figured that out
until they were
building it. And then they had to be like, oh, wait a minute, this is not going to work at all. And then they just froze everything. So there's just like this embarrassing reminder every day of like, oh, we really should have, we should have had like someone who knows structural engineering.
Yeah, they haven't torn it down. It's just sitting there.
Nope, it's just sitting there.
That is hilarious.
And I'm
to
like,
me.
That's what would happen to me if I were the mayor someplace.
You'd be sitting there and you're like halfway through your bridge and someone's like, oh man, this is looking good. So where'd you study?
Yeah, where do the people go? How do they? Now, how are they not going to fall right through this giant hole that's in the middle?
What's the
artistic choice.
It's artistic choice. Okay, so it's not a working bridge.
Define working.
Well, bridge. Bridge. So it's not a bridge.
Huh. Is it pretty, though?
You know, we need to shut this down, guys. A lot of questions here.
Yeah. I couldn't be... Was there ever a time when you felt like... Like, did you ever run for student council? You know what I mean? Was there a time when you were like, I think I can... Like, maybe I'm a leader.
I think...
I'm likable enough.
You know what's funny? I think my... let's travel in time and take a peek into the mentality of Danny Pudi for a second here. I ran
Thank God
for one.
You talk about yourself in the third person.
Always. Never. First time, last time. In college, I ran for vice president of our dorm.
Okay. All right. How big of a dorm was it?
It's McCormick Hall at Marquette University in Milwaukee, and it's the largest freshman dorm. So there's probably, I don't know, maybe 1,000 students in there. It's pretty big.
That's big.
Yeah, it's there's maybe 12 floors. It's co-ed. It's great. It looks like a giant keg, and it's a wild place. It's a great place to live, and I already knew at that time that I couldn't handle the responsibilities of being president. So I knew very well when I was running for vice president that vice presidents don't do as much as presidents.
Sure. It's a title.
And
it's,
I was like, okay, if Tom Kaczynski, gets shot, I have to take on the duties.
The chances of that are so slim.
Totally. So Jizz and Pootie ran for president and vice president. That was Jizz was his nickname. My
that's
nickname
rough.
Was Poo. So Jizz and Poo.
Boy, that's...
That's
rough stuff right
These are real facts, guys.
Yeah. Jizz and poo. Now
we won.
You did. Well, of course you did. You're jizz and poo.
And that was as ambitious as I got in terms of running. Were you ever like president of something?
No, I think for the exact same reason. The only time I ran for student council, I ran in seventh grade to be eighth grade secretary.
Wow.
And I think I only chose that because. I had a friend who was running for president, and then another friend who was running for vice president. And I was like, I'll never beat them. Not that I even wanted to.
But you don't want to compete.
And then I only ran against one other girl who was very nice, but not as like
secretarial.
Well, secretarial. All I wore was secretary blouses. You know, the movie Secretary is actually based on me.
Seventh grade or eighth grade, Janet.
Stuff's getting a little dark.
Oh,
yeah, it's
man.
Getting a little dark. And I did run a good campaign because although I could not go with like a jizz and poo situation, I did find ways to rhyme. So I had two different posters. One poster was for the best secretary on the planet, only one thing to do, and that's vote for Janet.
Oh, I love it so much.
Terrible, terrible, shameful. And then the other one, more controversial. Avoid the Blarney. Vote for Varney.
What? I didn't know somehow you were anti-Irish. What? My wife somehow is Irish. She's going to be furious.
Blarney is a bad thing in the Irish culture. That's like Blarney. Bullshit. It's is like it? Bullshit. That's a lot of Blarney.
Okay, I thought you were...
But
okay.
It was controversial. By the way, it was not controversial. But it was controversial in my memory because no one knew what that meant. No one knew or cared what that meant.
Ooh, what
so
is
it
Blarney?
Just seemed like I had come up with a made-up word. But I did still win. But I don't remember having any responsibilities. I remember having student council as like a class, like fourth period is student council. And I do remember taking minutes.
You remember.
So I guess I had those responsibilities, but I don't ever feel I instigated a lot of change in the school.
Were you... It sounds like you were ambitious. Did you feel like you had your penmanship was stronger than most students?
I did have very strong penmanship. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. Okay. I just read this book called The Swerve. Have you read that?
No.
Book talk, guys.
What is it, book talk?
It's pretty amazing, but it's about this poem, this Lucretius poem that was found and by this scribe, and I don't remember. Let's say it was the 14th century. Let's just say that.
Sure.
But it was this poem that was pivotal in terms of the Renaissance and for artists and free thinkers in the world, and really instrumental in the Renaissance. And this guy Poggio found it in I'm going to be wrong here, but it's going to be a choice.
Sure.
I think he found it in a monastery or an abbey in Germany. And because the church was largely the people who held the scribes and all
the records.
Sure,
that's how like history was being recorded, definitely.
And most people were illiterate or couldn't write. But this guy Poggio was the Pope's scribe. And
Poggio's kind of a great name
isn't
for
that
a kid.
Awesome. Poggio.
Have you not met Poggio?
Oh, look at this
here
young.
He is.
Have you not met this young lady, Poggio?
Oh,
does it work for? Nah.
We're missing a lady named Poggio. Yeah, I don't know.
No, let last seen him. Poggio had the best writing in like the kingdom or like in Europe, and so he was known for his penmanship in like the. Let's say 1400s, and which is why he became the best scribe because he would hand, write all these books and stuff. That was his job. So, would you call yourself Poggio?
Would I say I was the Poggio of Utterback Middle School in Tucson, Arizona, in 19 whatever it was? No,
no,
no. I wouldn't. I'm sure there was someone who had better penmanship than me,
but not better rhyming
I
skills.
I did the best I could. With the skills I had and the charming disposition and braces in my pumpkin-toothed smile.
Oh, Janet.
Did you have braces?
I did not have braces.
Lucky
I had...
Dog, you have great teeth.
Thank you. I had a lot of other things going for me, though. Gangly legs. Weird bowl haircut.
Oh, you had a bowl haircut. How late into
acne?
Your...
Real bad acne. For
you
a while.
Did?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't think we've ever talked about that. Your skin is perfection.
I think it's because I went through a really rough time.
But like, you don't have any pox. You know what I mean? You don't have like Tommy Lee Jones face. All due respect to TLJ.
Much respect to TLJ.
Everyone knows he has some pox.
Yeah, I mean, well, I got lucky when I was also part of that whole like don't pop time period.
Like
remember?
It was a movement.
It was a movement.
Remember when they marched on Washington?
The million.
Remember that?
The million don't pop. Movement. Stupid. Yeah, I was part of that. I was part of that.
Wow.
It was a revolution.
Big
though.
Stuff. Sure.
Because now I have such an urge to pop.
Yeah. You know? God, yeah. Oh. Anything that I can even, I mean, we were just talking about like a wound situation. Even something that it makes me nauseous to look at is still like part of me is like I just want to get in there. I want to take care of it all myself. Like in a weird alternate universe, like I'm a person who gets hurt so often that I need to like keep my own kit and like shoot myself up with lidocaine and like stitch something up.
Oh, you're like a Saint Bernard, and you have your like little barrel around your. What? But that's just whiskey.
I think so. Question.
Actually, you know what?
Yeah,
you're not like that at all.
Is that what St. Bernards carry? Like a St.
Like
Bernard comes to rescue you when you're in an avalanche and all it brings you is whiskey?
I guess.
Yeah. We need to revisit that.
But I guess alcohol at the time was probably the only thing that kind of like did everything. Like it would like seal a wound, I guess, and clean it out.
Sure.
And make you
feel
warm.
Better. Yeah. And make you feel a little more numb to the pain. I guess that's true.
But they don't do that anymore, right?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Someone was just telling me that St. Bernards are kind of crazy because they've been so inbred.
Really?
Yeah, that they're like one of those dogs where it's like not even worth it now because they're just, those poor animals are just like, you know, super anxious or super aggressive or, you know, and they're large too.
Yeah, you don't want an aggressive large animal like that.
I don't think you
do. Let's get back to the whiskey days.
You know what I mean?
They were so much more peaceful.
Set them all free with a barrel around their neck into the Alps. You guys, there's a lot of wild St. Bernards out here. Hopefully we'll spot one.
It's like when they reintroduce like fish into a river and all of a sudden they're like, oh shit, guys, we're stuck here with this. There's a lot of carp. This river is over carp.
We thought this was a good idea, but we thought carpe diem. Well,
edit party. Eighth grade secretary, she's back.
If I had like sound effects like a bad morning radio show, that would just be like the sound of like a click and a dial tone. Like, oh, Danny just hung up on me. Danny just hung up on me, everybody. That was a terrible joke.
Yeah. I would stay on because of that joke, Janet.
Would you? Mm-hmm. You'd sit it out with me?
I'd give you a
chance. Let me try to redeem myself.
I'd give you a chance.
Wait, bowl haircut. But that wasn't in high school.
Yeah, so...
A little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. I was in that time period. Again, this was also in the Don't Pop era. where you split your hair down the middle and you kind of like part it right down the middle and you do...
Oh,
I'm trying to think of what... Who was that modeled after? I was trying to think of who was the guy that was doing that a lot.
Was it feathered? Like you would split it and then down the side and then feather it
I wasn't a feathering kind of guy, Janet.
I'm not saying you were, but is that what people did?
Some did.
Girls did. Like girls had... But even in the 80s, I feel like...
Yeah, they had the
90s. There was a little, well, maybe not in the 90s.
I had a little bit of a wave. It was kind of like, and you'd shave the sides and then the top would go over. I'm trying to think of like who was popular around then.
Kind of skatery in a way.
It was skatery.
Yeah,
it was a little skatery.
Yeah.
I don't know who was, I mean, it's like, it was like Wu-Tang Clan was popular. I'm just trying to think of like what was the.
Yeah.
What was the cultural...
That's a good question. I can't think of who, you're right, that was a very ubiquitous hairstyle.
Yeah.
And I can't think of. Who was
doing that?
Propagating
who was modeling
it?
That?
Bud Bundy?
He actually, I think,
honestly,
was.
Honestly, I think maybe he had it.
I think he was. Well, yeah. You could ask him.
I could.
You could ask him because maybe that was
Did
it.
Did you originate that Did hairstyle? You,
yeah, that he was probably part of that. Yeah.
He might have been. But there was also like the shaved on the sides and then almost the sort of like New Kids on the Block, like pompadour-y kind of like side part. Shaved side head and then the sort of like vanilla icy, like things got kind of puffy there for a while.
Yeah, we were, I was after that.
Early 90s, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was right after that. Mm-hmm. Mine was like a little bit longer, but it couldn't be too long. It always had to be at the collar because I went to a all boys Catholic school. And so they would measure our hair and make sure it didn't touch your collar.
Hair measurements.
I know. They also had like a clipboard in the showers to make sure you showered every day after gym.
Ugh. I never, even in the brief times before I figured out there was a way to get out of PE, I still feel like I didn't shower. I hated that feeling.
The good thing, I didn't like it. I mean, the good thing is that I went to an all-boys school, so there was plenty of other people who didn't want to shower.
Yeah.
You always had a group of like guys who were like, hey, let's see this week who goes the longest without showering. And that was like a fun thing to do.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have a girlfriend.
At that age, boys really smell.
Smell. You're
whatever's like, going on. You just have like the worst BO of your life.
Oh yeah, I remember when like a friend of mine suggested using deodorant to me in like I think fifth grade.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, I do smell. This might solve that problem. I remember and just thinking like. Because like, I didn't have a dad, and I guess that's who would do that, you know?
I don't know, though. Why wouldn't a mom be into hygiene?
Because my mom always thinks I smell good, you know? But, like, you know, I know.
Shout out to your mom.
Mom, I don't, though. You need to know I don't.
Yeah. He for sure reeks right now. Not to complain about it too much.
Thank you, Janet. But I always, like, remember that conversation. It was so, like, just a matter of fact, like, hey, you should try deodorant.
And you did.
And I did. And by high school, it came in very handy.
Did you have like a special deodorant that you wore? Like, did you ever, or like aftershave, did you ever, when did you start shaving?
Probably high school, end of high school, maybe. I mean,
end
I never,
of high school.
Yeah. I mean, I always had a little bit of that, like, you know, nasty stash, you know? But I still can't grow a good beard. It's still like patchy and looks weird.
Yeah.
Going back to deodorant, it's actually an interesting thing because I still use like the same deodorant, Old Spice.
Oh, okay, and yeah, that's a favorite among many.
Shout out to Old Spice.
Major shout out. They sponsor the podcast. Shaking her head. I have a lot of weird sponsors.
Not yet. Yeah. Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah. But it's because my grandpa, I always remember, I think he always had Old Spice, and I just kind of have never really tried anything else.
Yeah.
I think it's, so that's kind of an interesting thing. It's like, that's...
Makes me wonder, like, how old is the spice?
How old...
Why can't you have fresh spice?
I guess their marketing has worked for a long time.
What's that? Huh? It's just some old spice. I should rub some old spice on my...
Go with it. Go with that. Take it to the streets. Take it to the streets.
What is it, like cardamom, cinnamon? I don't know.
I just know it's old spice. Just know it's old.
They were just going to throw it away. And I was like, wait a minute. Maybe I can use it for this.
Stuff's not bad. It's just old, guys. Bad. It's not bad.
Yeah,
it's
like just... old spaghetti. We made a whole factory where we just make old spaghetti. oh, boy. I have very positive associations with Old Spice, too. I feel like that's a smell that I... like encounter year after year, like, you know what I mean, like I'll hug a friend and I'll be like, that's a familiar smell, I like it, and I don't necessarily know where it is or where it's coming from. I'm not like getting down in someone's pits when I give them a hug or a squeeze.
I do.
Well, you like to snuff stuff out.
I like to get in there.
Yeah,
I feel like it's, how do you determine true character
and how do you determine enemy versus friend? That's the only way to really know for sure. Dogs got it right. Dogs be gotten it right.
So, Janet, speaking on the enemy friend thing, because I think this is very important.
Yeah.
Your dogs love me.
Yes.
Let me talk to you a little bit about why.
Oh, great.
Or at least
great.
I don't know if they love me. They're interested in me.
Yeah.
I'm allergic to dogs. Did you know that?
Oh, fuck. Why didn't you tell me? I could have put them outside.
Because I like them and I'm fine for a long... I'm usually fine for about an hour and a half before it starts to hit.
Oh, no.
But the only thing I can't do is really like touch my face and stuff.
Okay.
And so...
God, I feel terrible now.
No, don't feel bad at all because I love dogs. And that's the problem. Yeah. Because I love them.
At least they're not as invasive as some could
be. They're amazing. They're both sleeping right now.
Yeah.
But they got up in me right away. Yeah. You know? And it's because I don't like... actively seek it out. It's almost like they come more because they want that attention.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna win him over. But good.
And they could feel that I want to touch them but I can't. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they get in me, you know? But it's like it's one of the hardest things in my life is being allergic to dogs because I love them so much. But it's true, we had a dog for one summer, Bing, and he attacked our house in many ways, but I kind of loved it.
He attacked your house? So he's just like the dog that like tore stuff up, like I think I'm really lucky. She was pretty destructive in certain ways when I first got her. I feel like she has really mellowed out now and isn't concerned with destroying everything. Having said that, I've never like just left her alone in a room for an hour. I can't say I know what would happen. Like they stay outside if I'm not there or she's in her crate. I do feel like she might have it in her to like tear some stuff up. But I don't really want to take that chance yet. Maybe after a year I'll try.
Yeah.
In a room alone.
Yeah, she's pretty new, right?
She's pretty new. It hasn't been a year yet, so.
Maybe that was our problem because we left Bing for days.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we were
he was eating pillows because he was starving.
He was just hungry.
Yeah, poor Bing.
But Bing was like, it was my mom's friend who we dog sat for. New dog, new house, with a family who clearly didn't know how to take care of a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bing was young. Like,
were you really allergic to dogs then, or is it something that developed later?
I think I was, this is again another peek into my brain here. I think I was always allergic to dogs.
Did you almost say Danny Pudi's brain?
I did, and this time I
you had to
better.
Keep to your
I'm trying
first
to.
Time, last
I'm
time,
trying
promise.
To win you over, Jack.
Yeah.
yeah, it's, I think it's something I've always, but we never had a dog. And so when I was like 14, we dog sat. And then I was just like, something ain't right. My face feels weird a lot. And then the only time I would ever notice something was wrong, actually two times. One, if I'd go over my friend Brian Kroll's house, and this was when I was like fifth grade. Every time I would go over there, and he had a dog, like a big dog, I'd always feel like, God, I feel weird. And I'm just never really put it together, right?
So when you say feel weird, because I'm not allergic, what does that mean?
Itchy. Eyes burning a little bit, just kind of like prickly, like you just kind of feel a little
bit. I just got itchy and prickly. That's how suggestible I am.
Like, yeah, but
I think I feel like that now.
Oh, itchy is the best thing to suggest, though. If you feel itchy, most people feel itchy.
Or like I feel like I think I saw a bug, therefore I definitely am that person. That's like, oh, it's for sure crawling on me now.
Yeah, there's something. Yeah. There's something around you. But I think I would feel like that. I'd feel like prickly, or I feel like there's just, and especially in my eyes and face, it'd feel like, and now it's, with allergies, it almost feels like sinus pressure too.
Yeah.
So it's like, it feels like you're instantly congested. But I never really knew, because I'd go to my friend's house every once in a while. And then the other time I started really piecing it together was probably my cousin's house, when we'd go there, and they had a dog named Tony. And every time I'd come back from that house, I remember like in my bed, like sitting there, and his name was Tony. That's actually the best
name
ever.
It was a pizza making dog. Yeah, it was. Well, that was racist on my part. Racist on my part.
Pizzas and samosas.
Sure.
We'll make it more culturally appropriate. But Tony was an awesome dog. But literally every time we come back from their house, I would always be like, why the hell do I just feel so shitty right now?
Yeah.
And I remember it just kind of dawned on me one day, and I was like, I think I'm allergic to dogs. I'm allergic to dogs. And I was like,
everybody, I'm not going crazy.
Yeah, I'm allergic to dogs. I'm running around. I'm like telling everyone, like, I'm so happy. And they're like, why are you happy? I'm like, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
I'm just allergic to dogs. And I figured that out.
Yeah.
And then from then on, I realized, like, oh, yeah, as soon as I go to people's houses, as long as I wash my hands and I don't touch my face, I'm usually good for about an hour and a half.
Okay. But you know that you just rested your knuckles on your cheeks, and now I'm worried about you.
Yeah. My chin is itching right now. And
God damn it.
I know. I'm fine.
I have Benadryl.
No.
All right.
Well, I'll be all right.
At any time you want me to turn them out, if you want me to have them put down while you're here, I'm willing.
Good friend.
That's how devoted I am to our friendship.
Oh, man.
Let me ask this, because this is, I think, I don't mean to push it as a segue, but it really is what I thought of when you were talking about this sort of like the dogs being interested in you because you seem somewhat aloof, but you also are interested in them.
Yes.
And that made me want to ask you, and also because you told me that you smelled in high school and that you didn't have a girlfriend, you fit into the sort of like social construct of romance and crushes in high school. Like, where did you have girlfriends? Did you just have big crushes? Were you like the best friend? Did you not have that many girlfriends? Those are a lot of choices.
A lot of choices. I think I'll start out by saying this. In terms of the social construct, I don't think I ever really fit into a particular group, but I had great friends. So it was kind of a nice I had a really good experience actually in high school. Because I went to an all-boys high school, there wasn't any of that pressure necessarily to have girlfriends, because most of my friends usually didn't. At times they did. They dated and stuff. I never dated in high school. I had a couple of crushes and a couple of girls that I like kissed and stuff, but nothing like that was ever like real and long. My first girlfriend was in fifth grade. But it was like, fifth grade girlfriend, Susie Wilk. Just a couple of years ago, my mom told me Susie Wilk got married, and I was like, that's interesting, mom. She's like, Susie Wilk is married. I'm like, mom, we dated in like
she's been keeping track.
Yeah, she's keeping track.
I paid attention to all of your girlfriends.
By the way, for you Polish fans out there, Wilk, her last name means wolf in Polish.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Susie.
That's why you picked her.
I don't know. She was really cute, though. I had some crushes there. Kathy Kroll was probably my first, that was also, like, fifth, sixth grade, was my first, like, girl, like, that I think
don't
that
touch
was,
your
like,
face.
Was it?
I said, don't touch your face.
Oh, yeah, sorry. And Kroll, for you Polish fans out there, means king in Polish.
Okay. How many Polish, like, was there a...
There was just two Polish girlfriends. I see. But I grew up in a Polish neighborhood in Chicago, so, and because I speak Polish and my family's Polish... There was proximity and culturally, that kind of thing.
Was that something that by the time you got to high school, was interesting to other people? Or was everybody kind of such a mix that it wasn't like, you're different?
Everyone was very aware that I was different. Mm. Especially when I moved then. So I moved from this Polish neighborhood into this neighborhood that wasn't very Polish. There were some Polish people there. And I had a handful of friends that were mixed race. That became, I started seeing a little bit more of that. One of my best friends is, his father's from Belize and his mother's Polish. So he's kind of like me. And his grandma would speak Polish. So I would speak Polish to his grandma. Another one of my good friends was Polish and Italian. There was just a little bit more of a mix of that. But I think everyone always saw me sort of an oddity. Mm-hmm. 'Cause they're like, how did this happen? I was really the only Indian kid I knew, in addition to being Polish in high school. So I think that was always something socially that was tricky, because I never really felt like I related to most people, but I had really good friends. And so I kind of like bounced around, you know, with different groups and hung out with a lot of people. My school was also really into sports, and so I'm not a great athlete. So that was another place where I was like, yeah, I really don't fit in here.
Yeah.
But I love sports. So it was always tricky for me in terms of, like, you know, really feeling like I clicked. I think from an early age, I always felt like I love a lot of people, but I don't necessarily know where I fit. I was lucky, though, because I was accepted still, mm-hmm. even though people were like, you don't fit in any of these groups, but we like you, that kind of thing.
You're very likable.
Thanks, Shannon. It was tricky, though, for a while. I mean, like, in high school, no girls. Like, it was really hard, too, especially going to an all-guys school and living in a neighborhood that was pretty Caucasian, for me to like, feel like I could just put myself out there to meet girls.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard. It was very hard. And so I was just kind of like, instead, I'll just focus on comedy. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did you have, like... I mean, because that, to me, for me, that era was so kind of like grossly about, you know, who I had a crush on or who I was dating or when I was going to lose my virginity and all that kind of stuff. It was just very pervasive for me in my high school experience.
Did you go to a co-ed high school?
Mm-hmm, okay, yeah, public school. But, and I also, like, a lot of the guys that I went out with didn't even go to that school. Like, I was kind of partying a lot. So I'd meet people from all over and I feel like I was, like, probably way too focused on that part of things. But to have, like, the dance of that kind of removed as a focal point, maybe you did get to kind of really, like, actually grow as a person in a way that I probably didn't.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, thank you, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help me feel any better about that experience. I know.
Because I just feel like the hormones are going so crazy at that time that, like, even if it's just, like, you were obsessed with, like, a girl and, like, an actress or, like, a girl that you would see and be like, God, I just, you know.
I had definitely had some crushes. I had a couple crushes on some of my sister's friends. I had a big crush.
Is it just you and your sister?
Me, my sister, and my brother.
And your brother, right.
And I'm the middle child. And so my sister actually went to an all-girls school, too. And so around that age, you know, you're always, like, you know. I wouldn't say your sisters and brothers' friends are your friends, but they're around
sure.
a lot. So that's a very, like, you know, interesting thing for me to see, because I didn't hang around with a lot of girls for a while, and then seeing my sister groups of girls' friends, it was like, shit, they're really cute, and it was. Those are probably some of my first, like, crushes that I.
Sure.
But I was also, like, very aware of, like, I can't do this. My sister's friend. We can't. How do I?
I was never
comfortable enough.
She younger than you?
She's a year and a half younger than me.
Yeah.
I was never comfortable enough at that age to really go for it, you know?
And it's hard, too, I think, when, like, because I remember having crushes on my friend's brothers. Well, really, just, like, I can only think of one or two. But it would have been weird to, like, just be around someone who's, like, in your home that you have a crush on. So you can't really, you suddenly feel like you can't kind of be yourself in your own home because there's, like, this person there that you kind of wish saw you as something that maybe they don't. And that tension, I remember so well, just even being over with, like, a girl. Like, I had a girlfriend she and her brother hated each other. Yeah. And she was a year younger than me and he was 2 years older than me. They just hated each other, but I had a crush on him. And so, like, she hated when I was, like, nice to him or if I wanted to include him or in something or joked around with him. She would be like, I see him all the time. Why are you asking him to come with us or whatever? It was just, like, that interesting time of tension.
I remember that, like, so clear. I remember just being, like, just slathering my armpits with Old Spice, being like, oh, just wait.
Why stop with the armpits? Why
just get it on the outside. I think crashed my first car because I had a crush on my sister's friend Rachel.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
And by crash, I mean I had my driver's permit, and I think I was just moving the car out of the driveway. But then I saw Rachel, like, walking with my sister, and I was probably trying to be cool, but I was also, like, so caught up in, like, oh my God, that's Rachel. And then I just crashed. Like, I literally backed into my neighbor's car. It was so. And then I was just like, I looked at Rachel, my sister, and I just put it in forward and just drove the car right back into the driveway. Got out of the car, went inside the house, wrote a note, put it on my neighbor's car, and like just sat in my room being like, yeah, it's still not ready.
Oh, that's a perfect moment.
Still not ready.
Perfect moment.
Oh, man.
Were you a good student then?
I was a decent student. I think I was very much a do enough to get by, and the rest of the time have a really good time with your friends and go out and party and hang out and stuff. So I was always like a B student where my mom was like, what? You're not doing enough homework and stuff. I'm like, I know, but I'm having fun. It was that was to me, it was more about like doing that. You know, I definitely could have been a better student. So here's what I'm saying. If I was to redo high school, I would definitely try a little bit more academically to be a better student. And I would put myself out there for sure more. And that's kind of like, but at the same time, I had a really good experience. I look back and I had some of my best friends are still from my high school. And I feel like it did give me a chance to sort of figure out who I was. It gave me a good playground for sure.
What when you say partying, what does that mean?
We go out a lot. I mean, I was always a designated driver. Most of my friends would party, but I was like the guy who would, everyone would be like, you know, Pootie's driving. And then I had a yellow station wagon until I crashed that one too. And the good thing is I was crashing all these things very sober.
Listen, that's great. It sounds like you didn't need much enhancement.
Never drank. So it was just, you know.
And that never felt like, because being someone who doesn't drink all the time, like I sort of have a limit to how much I can be around drunk people before I'm like, look, I know you're having a blast and I have a blast when I'm drinking. But right now I'm not, and nothing you're saying is interesting to me.
It's time, yeah. I mean, for me, early on, I just never was really into it. I think I was just... So I never really drank until I was, I think, pretty much 21. I mean, I probably drank a couple times, but I really didn't. So I was like, one of the few, I guess, of my friends who would like, you know... But it was more of just like, I just wasn't into it. And, you know, I'll drink occasionally now, and I enjoy it. But I think it was more of just realizing that my tolerance wasn't great, and I had more fun, kind of, you know, feeling good in the morning.
Yeah.
That
well,
kind of thing.
That's always been true for you and me. I know we've talked about that before.
Like, yeah, I think I just react. I have a great time. Like, I love beer. Love it. I can drink beer every day, I feel like. It's just the feeling of my body physically is the tough thing. And then I just feel sluggish in the mornings with it. So it's like, more and more, I'm just like, it's just harder to like, you know, to get over that.
Me too.
And I don't think I've ever been really a fan of like really getting drunk. I've always just been a fan of just having drinks with friends and having a good time.
Yeah.
And kind of keeping it at a good limit. But then once I get like really sloppy, it's just not good. I mean, I remember like I got drunk, like really drunk a couple years ago, randomly. Just kind of, that's usually
like
how it happened. Just kind of happened out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting it at all. And my wife walked into the bathroom and I like popped up on the floor and I said, "Hey, Bridge." And she's like, "What are you doing?" And I had no idea. I don't even remember being in the bathroom.
Oh, no.
I don't like that feeling at all.
Yeah, no. I don't really either.
No.
Well, that's cool. I like that you were sort of the guy who was having a great time and like laughing and being silly with people who were doing a little bit more than you, and you were kind of keeping them safe. I think that's kind of adorable and great.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I always felt like it was, I like, in some ways, I love being around chaos.
That makes sense.
But trying to ground myself within that, or trying to remove myself as soon as it gets a little too chaotic.
That makes sense. Yeah,
it's,
totally makes
it's
sense.
Sort of like that. I think kind of growing up in a house that was like, you know, single parent, multicultural, it was always just a little crazy in our house.
How long was, like, when was your dad not in the picture for you?
When I was probably three. So he was gone. So I was always very aware of the lack of a father.
And your mom never remarried?
No. And we never really talked about it. But I was almost more aware of it because we never talked about it. It was such a thing that we just never really discussed. But you could feel that like brooding silence, you know, throughout the house or holidays or things like that. But I loved our household because it was so crazy and we had so much fun. And I grew up with my grandparents and they're incredible people.
Did you feel like your grandfather was a father figure in some way?
For sure. Yeah. And my grandpa came to this country when I was, I think, 5 or 6 years old. And so I remember still when he came to this country and he came largely to help my mom raise us, you know.
Oh, that's nice.
And so, yeah, he was, you know, he's a great sort of lesson for me. I always look at him as sort of this this amazing role model, because I remember not liking him.
Uh-huh.
You know, I remember, because he was a disciplinarian and he was very much like, don't do that. You know, he'd cook me oatmeal. My breakfast was, people love when I tell them what I had for breakfast every day. I had a bowl of oatmeal and two hot dogs every day for breakfast.
Wonderful. Yeah, that is good.
Right? It's so
God.
Good.
God. Right? So specific.
It was.
Did you ever think like, maybe just one hot dog today, or I don't even know if I want the hot dogs.
I think I probably did, but I think it didn't matter. I would have a bowl of oatmeal and two hot dogs every day. And I think I remember screaming for ketchup. And yeah,
were they just plain hot dogs, like not in a bun or anything? They were just like, yeah, just sitting on a plate. Got
plain,
it.
Yeah, plain hot dogs with oatmeal.
Microwaved?
Yes. Yeah. Or boiled. Boiled.
Boiled. There you go.
Boiled hot dogs. Better. Better boiled, right?
Sure. Sure? Question mark?
But he was like the first one who taught me like everything. I mean, he like was very handy. I always look back and I'm like, God, I wish I could do half the stuff my grandpa could do, because he could fix stuff, you know? Yeah. He was just very like handy, you know? And I can't fix anything.
I know. I like that too. I want to be the person who can do that.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's but he was also very like into reading. He was like the first person who I remember like being like, seeing him read all the time was curious to me, to like see him just reading all the time. And he would always be into a new book, and very comfortable with like, you know, quiet, and really into gardening, just like kind of like he was a really interesting dude. And so him and my grandma, they were like great role models, disciplinarians. I remember not liking them, but then as I grew older and older, I realized like, oh, they were awesome. They did like important stuff that as a kid you're just like, this sucks, I don't want to eat this hot dog without ketchup. And now I'm like, that was a pretty damn good breakfast, right? It was weird, but you know, it was
always reintroduce it. You can always reintroduce it into your life.
I'm sure my kids would love that right now. Yeah,
couple of hot dogs,
right?
I'm dazzled. Did you watch a lot of TV and like go to a lot of movies and stuff?
A little bit. Not a lot of movies. I mean, we didn't like we weren't like a we didn't have a lot of money growing up, so it wasn't like we were like going and doing, and we were also an immigrant family, so we weren't doing like very like American things. It wasn't like,
yeah, what kind of a sense of Chicago did you have as sort of the cultural like mecca that it is and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we, like until I was like 11 years old, we grew up in a very Polish and Hispanic neighborhood. It was like, you know, south side of Chicago, so a very immigrant neighborhood. So in my house,
I have so many friends from the south side of Chicago.
Really?
So
yeah.
Funny. Yeah,
it's I mean, culturally it is a melting pot. It's but our neighborhood, is specifically in Brighton Park where I grew up, was very Polish, very Hispanic, and so in our household it felt like you were in a different country. You know, even though I'm Indian, we grew up in a Polish household. We always had relatives coming in from Poland, and you kind of never knew who was going to be sleeping upstairs for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it was exciting. Like, I used to like dread the rides to the airport because it was so far to O'Hare Airport from the south side of Chicago. And I used to always get car sick. Ugh. And I just knew I would be like car sick. And then meeting an aunt that I wasn't sure if she was really my aunt.
Uh-huh.
And then the whole time, car ride home, she would be asking me about school while I want to throw up.
Oh, yeah.
But it was also really exciting because we had all these new people coming in the house. You know, the holidays were very rich, and it was full of Polish traditions. So it was like, I feel like we grew up in a very traditional household in some ways, very Catholic.
Can you give me some examples of some Polish traditions?
Yeah. Well, Catholic, we go to church every day. I went to church every day.
And just do mass, just to a mass?
Mass every morning before school. I went to a Catholic grade school.
Oh, wow.
I was an altar boy. And that was very, very Polish. You know, you're expected to pray, you know.
How was confession?
You know, when you go through the motions. You kind of realize, you say you lie, you stole, and you fought with your brother and your sister, and then you get, you know, Hail Mary, Our Father.
Did you have, like,
obviously,
a
I wasn't the best Catholic. Now that I'm
did you
that,
have? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess that's my question: is did you have a real sense of spirituality? Like, did you have a sense that there were, that the God and Jesus were?
Yeah, I think I did. I mean, I definitely grew up fearing God and fearing religion, and I think my grandparents were devout Catholics. They'd be praying the Rosary, I think, you know, from an early age, I respect that. I think when I went to church, it sort of became And at the time, it's like now I realize perspective wise, I did like the practice of it, the ritual of it. I really enjoy that. I still do. It's an hour of reflection, which is kind of very valuable.
I've talked about that. I mean, I talk about this all the time. I'm going to get a pillow and like rest my neck for a second. But can you still see me?
Yeah, yeah.
This is fun, huh?
This is great.
Shit just got really real.
Janet and her dogs.
I wonder how long it is before one of them gets up and just gets right up in here. I don't really want that.
A couple minutes.
But the sort of hypnotic soothingness, like as somebody who didn't partake in like drinking or drugs or whatever, and you don't necessarily like that feeling, that's one way to kind of meditate, right? I mean, there is something very meditative and comforting about those sorts of rituals. And, yeah, and I think there's even like studies that that religious ritual, as with meditation, kind of triggers the same part in your like hippocampus. I don't know what it is, but there's something about the soothing, like there's this positive dopamine kind of soothingness about those sorts of things that you can return to and reflect and, you know, just be still, or to be able to rely on as like a consistency in your life and stuff.
I totally get that. And I think that's from an early age. I really liked that. I think I was scared because I didn't want to burn in hell. And I think that's because I came from like a very devout Catholic family.
Yeah.
But I remember like, you know, the structure of a mass is the same, you know? I mean, now a couple of years ago, they actually changed some of the wording and some of the prayers. So if you walk into a church now and you haven't been there a while, you're like, what are they saying? And clearly I haven't been in church like consistently now because we have kids who are 2 years old.
Right.
And, but there's something overall with the mass that's very, it brings me back to my childhood. It makes me feel like I was with my grandparents again. There's the tradition of it and it is soothing. And I kind of realize like how, you know, you're moving around so much all the time. It is, sometimes it's just so nice. It's just like running or biking, you know, where you have that hour of kind of not really thinking, but still doing something and like practicing something and having a little bit of a consistency to it.
Yeah, I totally get it. So, I totally get all that.
But yeah, I was definitely raised Catholic. I enjoyed going to mass and then I hated it because we'd have to go every day. And but again, it's one of those things I look back at fondly now because I realize how it was valuable for sure.
How do you, and this is too personal, you could tell me to go fuck myself, but how, because you just mentioned the twins, have you guys talked about that? Like, how is spirituality going to enter into the way that we continue bringing up our kids? Is it something that's going to be present, or just something that you'll let them kind of figure out on their own?
I think it's going to be present for sure. I mean, we'll pray, you know, you know, not every day, but you know, we'll pray. We take them. We've been to church. I think they're at an age that now that's kind of funky, but my wife has been involved in this sort of co-op group at the church where kids can kind of play while other people go to church.
That's cool.
And she's great with that. But I think we're going to, like, you know, raise them sort of the way we grew up. My wife also grew up Catholic. Mm-hmm. But also, my wife also teaches yoga, and we want to make sure that they're kind of able to sort of find their own selves within that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the important thing, is that if they could find, you know, the importance of tradition and ritual, but also realizing that it's for them too. And that's trying to, I guess, whatever helps them find peace, that kind of thing.
I'm going to go ahead and just dub that Southern California Catholic.
I know.
Sounds
sorry,
about
Mom.
Right to me.
I know. I'm trying to do
think
to do well.
I think it's great. I think it's that there's a flexibility, if you'll pardon the yoga reference.
Yeah.
To that feels just, you know, respectful of your kids and respectful of you know, different strokes for different folks and like who knows, but to kind of instill the basic values and the benefits and stuff. That totally makes sense.
And I think it's like, you know, I remember having a moment in church where I was like realizing that, like, well, I'm not sure I believe all of this. And now I'm like, that's okay. I think that's comfortable. You should question stuff, I think, you know, and not be, for me, it's always scary when, you know, when there isn't some questioning, some form of questioning. I think that's good. It's
absolutely.
There's a little bit of a back and forth, you know,
absolutely.
But I remember having a moment in church where, I was an altar boy, and I think I was with my brother, and the priest kept grinding his teeth on the altar, and the mass was moving real slow. And I was like, oh boy, this is getting rough here. And he was on the pulpit, and it was an early mass. It was in Polish. I wasn't sure what was going on. And then at some point in time, another priest, Father Chester, I think, walked from the wings and just escorted the priest off the altar while I was just like standing up there.
Oh no.
And I was like, here we go,
Danny.
It was
like the Catholic version of like the little cane.
I know,
that, like,
yeah.
Drags him off the stage with a gong show.
And I was like, here we go, Danny. This is your time, man. Get out there. And I was really confused. And then I was told later that the priest was drunk.
Oh.
And it was like a really early mass. I think he was like still like hungover from the night.
Wow.
I just remember that moment so clearly, being like, how is that? What? It was such like I wouldn't say loss of innocence, but it was definitely more of like a, oh yeah, priests get drunk too. It was kind of that kind of thing, just like everybody else. Or you know, it was just kind of a moment, one of those little moments in my life where I remember thinking like, I think I saw something I wasn't supposed to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And that was interesting for me. At the same time, I was always really fascinated by the performance aspect of church. I think one of the first times where I remember thinking like, I like this performance.
Mm-hmm.
And probably contributed in some ways to being an actor, I bet.
Yeah, and you said in high school that, I mean, because you were not making out nonstop with the ladies, that you did focus more on comedy. So what did that look like?
Messy. I mean, let's be honest, Jen, it was messy. I mean, we didn't have a huge like theater program in high school, but I was the mascot of our team. I did like pep rallies.
I can't believe you buried the lead of I was the mascot. What was the mascot? What'd you dress as?
It was unofficial. I wore long underwear, ran around.
Now hang on.
They would often put me in like the cheerleading outfits of the girls.
Are you
high
serious?
School. Yes.
Wait, so you didn't, there wasn't like, it wasn't like the Tigers? It was just...
It was a Don. Which is like a bull, I think.
Hmm.
But they also were like, we don't really know. There's not like a Don costume, but we like you at the games to kind of just go crazy and like. So I would wear like long underwear and like, and I was always a huge sports fan. So this was a great outlet for me.
Sure,
this worked for everybody.
You're a part of some. You're a part of it.
Yes.
Without having to be had the responsibility of scoring a point.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that's amazing! All 4 years.
No, I would say probably started like junior year.
Okay.
Yeah, it was maybe sophomore year. So I don't even remember exactly, but I remember probably junior year and senior year for sure. Yeah.
Oh my God. Do you have pictures of you as a mascot?
There's probably something out there.
I hope someday I see one.
I don't.
If not in relation to this podcast, I hope someday I see one. okay, so then what? So what were you? Did you have like a little comedy group, or did you just how?
It was more of just like I started doing like, you know, pep rallies. I would do that, and then be in charge of kind of putting together like a little comedy bit.
That's adorable.
Yeah, so it was like it was very unstructured, but there was a little bit of a structure to it. I knew I had to do something to, you know, for this pep rally. I was very lucky because Father Molinaro and the teacher, Sister Carol, a number of awesome teachers at Notre Dame High School were very like, I think they already saw that I was interested in comedy. And they just gave me an opportunity to be like, we have a pep rally come. Do you want to just do it? And I'll MC it and put it together. I was like, yeah, okay. And so I think that was my first chance to really start going in front of a crowd, which was the students and trying stuff. And
did you have a sense of that part of Chicago, of like the Second City world and stuff?
Not really. Yeah. I think because I grew up in an immigrant household and I was never really aware of that. Yeah. That was never on my radar. I grew up loving SNL. And so I don't think I ever realized that was right in my backyard. Second City is right there. Not until after college. And then in college, I realized, I want to really pursue this. And I hadn't really like studied comedy. And that's when I was like, Second City is actually what I need to do. And then once I went to Second City, I fell in love with it. And I thought it was just an amazing place to train.
Yeah.
Amazing place to train.
Yeah, yeah, that's what everyone says. I feel like I missed out a little bit on that.
You can always go back, Janet.
What if I moved to Chicago based on this discussion?
I would.
I'm giving up everything.
Scared.
You guys want a couple of dogs? No, you can't have the dogs. You're allergic to them. Boy, I really got a lot of work to do.
Janet, what about your dogs?
No, she just left that day.
Amber alert. Where's Janet Varney?
Oh my God, that is such a good full circle that I feel I'm going to move on to the game portion of the podcast.
There's a game?
I didn't warn you about this, but...
Love it.
We'll do a couple of these.
Okay.
And...
when you said these, by the way, Janet just showed me things that I don't know what they are. Stickers?
I think you will once I put my fingers into them.
They're cootie catchers.
So, okay, that's the first time anyone has really identified them by that name without me having to say it.
But they were, and the only reason I know that is because pootie rhymes with cooties and cootie, and I've had many jokes growing up.
This is a pootie catcher.
Thank you.
I'm going to catch information from you.
Okay.
Okay, so pick a color, but tell me, like, describe the color as something other than just like yellow, green, red, blue. Like, if it looks like, if it reminds you of something else.
Okay. That looks like an autumn sweater.
Okay. A U T U M N S W E A T E R. That was like a spelling bee.
So now what do I do?
I may have spelled it wrong. Now pick a number.
Do I have to describe the number?
Nope, you could just say the number.
Figure eight.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Another number?
Final four.
1, 2, 3, 4. And then last number?
Three. Clearly, I had nothing, guys. Sorry.
Number three. What is your worst memory of high school?
Worst memory of high school.
Gotta get negative.
I know. I'm trying to think of what's my worst memory of high school? I think if I was going to say worst memory of high school, do I have like, there was nothing, I was lucky. I don't think there was any like anything tragic.
Yeah.
Like, I know some people definitely had some tragic.
So far, what I'm thinking of is when you ran into your neighbor's car.
That was pretty rough, but that was actually pretty funny too.
So, you're such a positive person.
Now I look back, I'm like, that was actually pretty funny. That was a humorous experience.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if there was anything that was really like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I crashed another car, which was pretty bad. When I crashed my yellow station wagon on Harlem Avenue, that was scary because the guy got out of his car who I crashed into, and he had a purple mohawk, and I'll never forget. I thought he was going to, like, not only did I, like, lose a car, but I thought he was also going to just destroy my face in the middle of Harlem Avenue.
Did he end up being nicer than he thought he would be?
He was just really angry, and he was fine. So that was a pretty rough experience. I don't know.
Well, you know what?
Yeah,
I would say
I would say overall, you know, I got into a lot of, you know, fights with my brother and sister in high school, like anybody. And so I remember being very happy that those days are over with.
That's tough stuff. And living in the house with siblings, like, say, being an only child. Now you can pick another one.
Yeah. Okay, so
You just say the names.
What does that
one
say?
Yes, that's pink.
Okay, let's go with pink.
P-I-N-K. One more number.
Seven.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
One.
One. I'm just going to read one right now. Oh, no. These are also negative. They're not all like
that's
that.
Good.
I think it's funny that... you know what? I'm going to ask you. I want to ask you this other one because this is another like, what's the worst? I'm going to ask you this because I like this. What movie did you watch or movies most as like a teen or like, did you have sort of like a Stripes or like a Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory that you just loved?
I remember the first one watching, with my brother, it was Monty Python. So, Search for the Holy Grail. That was the first one I remember watching. Over and over again. And I remember watching it with my brother, and him and his friends would be laughing, and I didn't get most of it.
Mm-hmm. I remember that about Monty Python, too.
And like being like, this is funny, Adam, right, Adam? I totally get it. Yeah, Adam, your friends are so cool. And then I remember like when they would leave, I would watch it again because I would be like, what is this movie about? Like trying to figure that out.
I gotta pick up on this.
So I remember that. And I remember like just visuals of seeing like a woman striking her cat against the wall and the car. Part of Bring Out Your Dead and that, and then like every Police Academy, I feel like.
Oh God, I've never seen a single Police Academy movie even one time. Yeah.
I don't know if they hold up. but they were very, very pivotal in my upbringing.
I know, they're beloved by many persons.
They were really great. I loved them.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not the person I could have been.
Janet. This is
I guess let's
negative.
Just get through this mash game.
Okay.
Let's just get through
all
this.
Right.
What I need now from you is three. I'm going to come up with categories. Some of them are just perennial favorites of mine. Some of them are going to be based off of stuff we've talked about. I want to start with three sports that you wake up tomorrow and you'll, you know, of course, end up with one of these in each category because this is MASH.
Okay.
Three sports that you wake up tomorrow and you're just brilliant at.
Awesome. Okay. Basketball, number one. Soccer, number two.
Mm-hmm.
Number three. I'm trying to think of like something that'd be really cool. Tennis. Let's do
great.
That.
Oh, yeah. I wish I were an amazing tennis player.
That'd be cool.
Great. Next question is three movies that you can jump into and just live in that world whenever you want.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Amazing.
I was going to say Lord of the Rings, but it really depends on who I'm in. Who I, right. Like what
you can
person.
Decide. You
but
can
that
decide.
World, I would say that yeah. world. I love that world.
Great.
I love Tolkien. Trying to think of another movie that like Almost Famous.
Oh God, that movie really touched me when it came out.
Me
like,
too.
It was just the right time.
Me too. I think that's why it just hit me yeah. so much.
Yeah. When he, and also when he gets it right, he really gets it right.
Right. Oh God.
That moment. I mean, like I'm not, all due respect to Kate Hudson, I guess I'm just not necessarily, I haven't even really seen most of the movies that she's been in since, because she does a lot of kind of rom-coms
yeah.
that don't like grab me. But her performance in that movie.
She's incredible. There was like the movie where she was like touching the face.
The face movie?
No, which not in that, there's
oh, yeah.
a scene where she's like, I think touching his face. God, I don't know.
This is the moment I'm thinking of. I wonder if it's the same. But well, it's the moment where. I think it's the moment where the wife is there
and she
interacts with them
yeah.
and he's like dismissive of her and the wife looks really suspicious and the boy is observing this whole thing and Kate Hudson has like the most sad smile and like she has tears
yes.
in her eyes and it felt so real to
yeah.
me. I remember thinking like, what a great performance. Like it was the maturity of like a woman who has lived a lot longer than
yeah.
that young actress had.
Uh-huh.
That's that understanding of like, this is what it feels like to love someone so much that you don't have any control over your future outcome. Like there, you have no control over the outcome. And it's like the self-knowledge that you love someone you can't help but love. And it's terribly sad.
And it's also realizing
beautiful.
That you are in a very vulnerable position and it's
yeah.
being captured by this,
yeah.
this boy. That's like, yeah,
what
oh, she's
moment.
She's incredible. In
yeah.
that I forget what the scene is I'm thinking of, but it was something that was nonverbal.
Mm.
It was a same kind of thing where
yeah.
I could just feel like her knowing this isn't going to last forever, kind of that thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was a scene where she was maybe touching his face or something where I was just like, it was just so lovely and sweet. That whole movie, though, to me just is like great. And I think because that's sort of that time period of when my parents immigrated to this country, the music is also just so great.
Sure, sure.
It's just like everything about that movie I loved.
I love it yeah. too. I haven't thought about it in a little while and I really appreciate you bringing it up. Okay, next one is three vacation homes. You have a home somewhere in the world.
Awesome.
Three.
Okay. So three places. Let's do Poland.
Great.
I should say let's do the mountains of Poland.
Great.
Because that's southern Poland specific.
Okay. Yeah, don't go northern Poland on my ass.
Come on now. Hawaii.
Any particular island?
Kauai.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then New York City.
NYC. Where in New York would you like to live?
Let's do like a really nice place in Brooklyn. I don't have to be in Manhattan.
Great, 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 great.
Yeah, let's do Brooklyn.
Great. Yeah. A lot of nice places in Brooklyn.
There are. Yeah.
I almost want to ask you where in Brooklyn.
Let's do, I mean, if this is like no money, right? This is just like you have all the money
Doesn't
in the world.
Doesn't matter. You have all the money in the world.
Okay, so let's just do a really nice place in Williamsburg.
Great.
Got to be close to my
green point.
I'll
never remember
people.
What that says.
Okay.
Okay. Next category is three hobbies that you. They can be as sort of out of reality as you want in terms of like, you know, it could be as simple as I wish I gardened. It could be as complicated as I wish I flew a plane. Like three hobbies that would be really fun. Like, oh, you didn't know the Danny blank?
Oh, great. One, drawing. I wish I could draw. Great. Like, I'm a terrible drawer. Like, I can't draw anything well. Remember that sketch? Hello, my name is Simon. Mm-hmm, and I like to do... I love that sketch so much.
Drawings.
Drawings. Yeah. Okay, so I wish I could draw. Another skill. This is all... It's going to be stuff with my hands. I wish I could... I could fix things. So mm-hmm. I wish I had like sort of that... I was handy in terms of like a house. Like,
I just put Mr. Fix-It.
Yep.
Yep. I wish you were Mr. Fix-It.
I wish I could fix it. What's one other skill that would be good for me? And a singer. Oh, man, that would be amazing. What if I was like a really...
That's where you got to it by your hemming and your...
Oh, I found it right there. Pontificating. Yeah. I really do wish I was a really good singer. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. Okay. Give me three... give me three, like, actors or, you know, famous authors, anybody that, like, living or dead, you just wish was your buddy. Like, like a guy, I guess it could be a guy or a girl, that you just wish, like, maybe it's somebody that you think would give good, like, fatherly advice, or it could be, you know, somebody that would just be fun to hang out with.
Einstein, number one. Great. Sure. It'd be fun. That'd be awesome. I want to learn from him. I always like his quotes.
Yeah. Please say Poggio. Just kidding.
Actually, Poggio would be really good. Let's put Poggio on there right now. I know. He's fresh on my mind. Let's think of Poggio. Yeah, he had some adventures. He literally rode a horse to find a manuscript. I mean, think about how easy things are right now.
No kidding.
Okay, so Einstein, Poggio. I got to pick someone old, right? Like old school, right?
Sure, if you want, but, you know, not necessarily.
I'm trying to think of like who's a historic, like...
What if you finish it off with like Mark Wahlberg?
Should we put I'm trying to think of like who would be amazing here. I know. This is going to be a sleeper cut. Kieslowski, Polish film director.
Oh, Krzysztof Kieslowski?
Yeah.
I love... You know, I will say that The Double Life of Veronique is one of my all-time favorite movies. And many people have not seen that movie.
It's fantastic. The Decalogue. Have you watched The Decalogue?
I haven't.
Oh, it's great. It's a 10-part series he did for Polish television. That's...
I'm going to write that down.
Brilliant. But he's my favorite filmmaker, so I would say him. And
Decalogue. Great. That's great. I'm sorry I stuck you with Poggio. You feel free to back out of that if you feel like you need to.
Let's keep it. This makes the game exciting.
It really does. Before that, boring. Before Poggio, what a snore this game was. Okay, you enjoy eating. I do enjoy this question. Three foods can be as specific, like I want my grandfather's oatmeal, or it could be as vague as cheese pizza that you can have with no physical ramifications. You feel great afterwards. Could be beer because there's nothing bad about it, but you can have it just at the snap of a finger.
Okay. Yeah, no offense to my grandfather. I love you very much, Jadek. But I'm going to say Pliny the Elder, number one, beer from Russian River. It's amazing. It's an IPA that is just delicious. That would be awesome to always do. I'm gonna need a really good coffee. So do I have to give a brand or just?
You don't have to, but if you have one that you really like,
there's a lot. I mean,
but how do you feel about Stumptown coffee?
I like it. Yeah,
I really like it.
I know it's on. There's one right over here too.
I know, and I had some yesterday because Mess Hall has it. Mm-hmm. But I realize I'm not really a coffee drinker, so I realize that what I want is to be in Portland.
Yeah. I know, that's the thing.
Like, it tastes real good to me, but also you're in Portland, and I think it tastes even better because of that.
It tastes really good in New York, too. There's one in the Ace Hotel in New York, Stumptown, and it tastes good there, too, because it's just a little colder. It's New York.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. Sight Glass is very good.
What's that?
It's a coffee out of San Francisco.
I've only heard of like Blue Bottle, I think, from San Francisco.
They're also great. They're opening up downtown. Handsome Roasters, LA. And then, of course, Intelligentsia, Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is amazing. So any one of those. I would need good coffee.
Good coffee. I got it. And then third thing.
So this is, so we're doing liquids. I need something like a good base here, right?
Probably.
Good bread.
Yeah. What's not to love about a really delicious bread? Bread like, gets a bad rap.
It really does.
I say, as a gluten-free person, I say it gets a bad rap, but I love gluten-free bread.
Man, it's just like, especially when it's warm and gooey.
Of course. I wish I baked bread. I mean, I certainly know. Could do that, but that might be one of the things I would list as a hobby. Just
baking
like
bread. Yeah, baker.
You know why? You know, and like really I bad. Also like when people are staying with me or like someone in my home is makes something that I don't usually cook. And then that smell kind of lingers and I'll like leave and come back in and be like, oh, that's right. Someone made like a really great breakfast and I can still smell it. Why don't I make that smell?
I make different kind of smells. There's literally a place I go to for coffee here in LA. And I think part of the reason I go there is because when I go to the bathroom, it's behind the coffee shop. I smell delicious bread coming from some bakery. Yeah. But I'm a big fan of bread.
Love it.
Like really good, crunchy, warm, gooey, good bread.
Love it. Okay. Now. Mm-hmm. This is the tricky question. This is crushes. You always got to get this in a MASH game. Okay. So it can be people that you had crushes on when you were a teen, preferably someone known.
Yeah.
Could even be like, I've just always, you know, like I have such a crush on Emma Thompson's character. I always use Emma Thompson's example because I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah.
But like her character in blah, 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 you know, could be total fiction, could be something old, could be someone who is no longer young, but was, et cetera.
Okay. I'm going to say Dee Dee McCall from Hunter, the 80s television series.
Let me just take a moment for that.
See, that came real quick, by the way, didn't it?
I don't even know if I finished my sentence. Dee McCall from Hunter.
Dee McCall from Hunter.
Oh God, please let this work out.
She was probably. Now I look back. She was probably one of my first like big crushes that was on TV. Yeah, I would say her. If you guys don't remember, so it was that was a TV series. Hunter.
Was he just a PI?
Yeah, he was, and he was the former football player Fred Dreyer, I think is his name.
Mm-hmm.
He played for the Rams, I think. And it was just him and Dee Dee McCall, and oh yeah, it was fantastic.
I've never seen a single episode.
It's so I would say Dee Dee McCall. I was Alyssa Milano, big fan of Alyssa Milano. Another early crush.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
I never watched Who's the Boss either.
No?
It's so weird what you end up watching versus not watching. Like, I watched Silver Spoons, I watched Family Ties, but I didn't watch Growing Pains or Who's the Boss.
Interesting. Sometimes I'll tell people I didn't watch Seinfeld. I think I was watching Martin.
Were you?
I think I was.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I watched Martin. I saw Bra Man and everybody.
Uh-huh.
And Gina! and then the third one, I would say Frida Pinto's character in Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
She's just so stunning.
Great.
On the platform. And
it's,
come on. Gotta go with that.
What if you had said, like, Hermione Granger? I would be like, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know. It's
She's
just when you sit
girl.
Standing on the platform.
Yeah,
that's where I'm enough of a Harry Potter nerd, apparently.
Yeah, I love Harry Potter.
That I went
Potter,
to like the train platform when they get on. That's weird. This is what I'm going to do with these ladies is the final one is going to be three dates. Like you're going to go on a date with one of these girls.
Okay.
I don't like to make it that she's your new wife because I very much love your wife. So
thank you, Jenny.
You're just having a fun, weird alternate universe date.
Yeah.
What are three dates that would be fun to go on?
Does it have to be specific to each girl?
No.
Okay.
Because this is a real mixer. Like, I don't know which girl you're going to end up with yet. So.
Okay. Riding horses.
Great.
I've never been on a horse.
Oh, I would go on. It's been a long enough time and I'm skittish enough because I did get almost thrown from one that I would go with you to get on a horse. Like with you, I think it would be really funny. Like my fear would turn into such giggling with you and we would be making so much fun of ourselves.
I think it'd be a good idea.
At Hollywood Ranch. It's not too far.
I need to do that. Okay.
Riding horses.
Riding horses. Is this stuff I don't have to, if I'm scared of?
In this world, you're not.
In this world, I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I want to do something like zip lining.
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
Let's do a zip line. Something kind of like over like the jungle or something. That'd be awesome, right? So we'll do that. And then a third thing, let's do mini golf.
Great. I have so many memories of, there was so little to do in Tucson that I really leaned hard on mini golfing.
You leaned, just put it in.
I really made it important.
Yeah, mini golf was our go-to for family vacations. Wherever we went, I was like, where's the mini golf?
It is pretty fun, though.
It's fun. It is fun.
Like, I do, I have really fond memories of, like, make sure, okay, the timing is, like, if you do it enough, you'll really realize that, like, if you hit it at this point, the dragon's mouth will just be opening.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like you shouldn't. It feels like you should wait till the mouth is open. Don't. Hit it when it's closed.
And I also love the pressure of, like, oh, there's a family behind us. You got to hurry up. Kathy, hurry up. Yeah. The family behind us is pissed. Hurry up, Kathy. Hit your ball.
Remember this isn't spices? Fun anymore. This isn't, now this is just
come work. On. It's not pressure. I don't want to feel that family behind us.
Would the mini golf places I usually go have also like the skee ball and like the stuff inside, which is fun.
The
too.
Arcade on the inside. Yeah.
Did you play a lot of video games?
A little bit. Yeah. My mom worked for a video game company, so we had Mortal Kombat in our garage. We had a pinball machine.
Holy smokes! I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, I remember playing Double Dragon arcade game.
Oh, so
Gauntlet.
You're good at that stuff. I haven't played in a long time,
but yeah. I was really into video games for a while.
Okay. All right. Okay. And I got all three. Okay. So then now I'm just going to do a little process of elimination by asking you to tell me when to stop.
Okay. Stop.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Okay. I'm going to pause this, do my calculating. Listen, I'm no Einstein, but it takes a little bit of, it doesn't take any math at all. But I will be back in just seconds with your 100% guaranteed fictional future.
Yes!
Okay. All right. I think we've had some interesting and exciting results. I want to start out by congratulating you on your ability to, now this is, it feels like a simple, all of the three things that you said that you know, wanted to be able to have all the time, you sort of can anyway. It's not like you came up with like a pierogi that you had when you were visiting your family. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, sure. So when I say that you have only the best coffee, at the spur of a moment, that's almost always still true.
Yeah.
But just know that you don't have to travel to go get it. It just appears. Coffee magic.
I'm so happy for coffee magic. Thank you.
So you did win out on that. I also want to congratulate you on your ability to kill it at soccer.
Oh man, World Cup time!
I'm secretly pleased that that's the one. Although tennis would be really fun too.
Tennis would be cool. World Cup,
but yeah.
That would
soccer
be
is hard.
It's very
and
hard.
And I feel that you're already in the realm of being ready to do it because so much of it isn't just endurance running.
Yeah, and that's
and
why I think
that.
I would like the running part. I'm just not really good at like the kicking and the tattoos.
Right. But you know what? A lot of the time, like I've seen a few friends who play soccer. I go watch them. Their foot never even makes contact with the ball.
That's true.
They're
but
just
they're
always
still good.
Ready.
They're
helping. They're blocking. And then they're just running for hours.
Oh, that'd be
very
good.
Very impressive.
So you get a good workout in every time.
Very impressive.
I like that.
So congratulations on that.
Thank
also,
you.
Also, and I think you'll be pleased to hear this, you're a very skilled drawer.
Oh.
Yeah. Anything.
Janet,
sketch
I'm
it out.
I'm so happy for
anything,
that.
Anything. Just sketch it on out.
It's embarrassing right now with my children when I try to draw them elephants and stuff. So
yeah.
This is going to come in very handy.
It's going to come in very handy. You know where also it might come in handy is you're such a good illustrator and you can capture so much nuance. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if your best friend, Krzysztof Kreslowski, asked you to do the storyboards.
Oh my gosh.
For his film.
Oh, man.
And you can decide whether or not you want to make that commitment, but know that he'll be your best friend no matter what. Doesn't change anything.
This is all coming together, guys.
Yeah, it really
is. This
is
all coming together.
I want to tell you now you have two places that I think are extraordinary places to be able to access on a regular basis. I want to tell you tenderly that you do have a shack in the mountains of Poland. Not a mansion or apartment or a house.
Great.
You do have a shack.
Okay.
I like to think of it as a little ramshackle cabin that you're fixing up.
Yeah, it's a getaway. It's a little getaway. You know,
and
okay, I'm very
if
happy.
You need Cinque to Bato. Take a break from your the renovation you're doing on your shack, feel free to dip right into the world of Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
Transport yourself. Maybe you get some ideas from the hobbit hole design. You're like, screw the shack. I'm going to dig a hole right in the ground, put a door in it, and have a hobbit hole.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Have you been to New Zealand? Have we talked about this?
No, but I want
to
like...
I have to show you pictures of Hobbiton when we get offline.
Really?
Yeah.
See, the Shire is like my... like. It's so peaceful, right?
Allow me to show you pictures of Hobbiton.
Oh,
it was pretty extraordinary.
Awesome.
And then that just leaves us with... the very exciting news that you are in the near MASH future going to go horseback riding.
Yes!
With Dee Dee McCall.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my childhood dreams and adult dreams are coming to fruition. I'm very excited.
Congratulations. Thank
you.
Congratulations.
You give me way more than I ever asked for. Well, and I appreciate it.
You know what I mean? In this life, you're stuck with a wonderful career, two amazing twins, and an amazing wife. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I know. Tough stuff.
I know. See you later. I'll be on my horse with Dee Dee McCall.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Everyone you know would be like, what has he done?
What has he done? You really?
He's out of his mind.
He went for it. Dude, oh, dude, God. Pootie went for it.
That's it.
That's it.
That was the end of the podcast.
That was delightful. Thank you, Jenna Varney.
So
the
much
best.
Fun seeing you. It's such a great excuse to be in your presence.
Great seeing you. Thanks for inviting me into your home.
Thank you. And thanks for not telling me about the dog thing until it was too late and I felt horribly guilty about it. I'll never forgive myself.
It's fine. Now you get to see me with hives.
I can't wait. Oh, you know what the last piece of business is, and this is actually very official and important, and I'm not sure, it's kind of a legal thing.
Okay.
Is that I have committed to someone, you or me or both of us, singing a snippet of Boys of Summer.
Okay.
By Don Henley.
Okay.
Do you know that song?
Help me. I think I do.
The chorus is like, I can see you. You're
dancing down in the sun. Summer is gone.
I can't stand
it. After the boys of summer
have gone. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.